come serve yourself.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rainbow Ministries presents Purpose Gospel Radio. Sorry,
I had it scheduled earlier for 8, and for some reason it didn't come on. It said it was scheduled for 10. It was a mess-up on Block Talk's part. I don't know. So anyway, I'm doing the show now. Let's get into a prayer, amen? Lord our God, we gather in your presence, coming from this world so full of suffering, grief, and misfortune, that we could well be afraid. But we do not have to rely on this world. We can come to you, the Almighty God, you are our Father, and no matter what may come, we may remain your children and receive your blessing. So protect us in this present time, even if a flood of evil seems about to break over us and our hearts are heavy, you will uphold us. You will strengthen us so that we can bear this time patiently, hoping in you and in what you do for all people, who are your people just as we are. May the praise of your name be in our hearts forever and ever. Amen. And we pray this in the mighty presence or name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. I got to end some beeping here. All right. Okay, that'll end that beeping. Well, let's play some great gospel music here. Amen. We'll start off with Yes I Do by My Island Music. I'm going to play Working by Michaela and Church People. And Good God 2 by Limbaugh and Naomi Rain.
And they ask if I did it all. Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Tonight's message is part two of getting your relationship right. Okay, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. You have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if they, and if the right eye offended thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is proper for thee to have one of thy members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offended thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is proper for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whoever shall put away his wife and let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. So have I stated before, God created us to worship him and have a relationship with one another. marriage was instituted by to be a physical reflection of our spiritual relationship with him. And anybody who wants a divorce, God, in my opinion, needs to get checked out. It was God who created the institution of marriage between one man and one woman, as evidence in the book of Genesis. It was God who intended that the relationship be monogamous and not have outside influences and distractions. It was God who never intended for divorce to be something that takes place with regard to those relationships. Considering this relationship between man and one woman, I believe society has conditions to believe that intimacy is a bad thing due to the entertainment industry, namely magazines, movies, even some shows on primetime television. And that you don't need to remain faithful to your spouse or even your friend, but explore other options. Somebody once said the grass is always greener on the other side, but I found out that the grass that is greener is the one you water or nurture. So if you want it to be green, you've got to work on it. Intimacy is a very important part of marriage relationship in God. It addresses it in his word. I think sometimes people forget that God created intimacy, and since he did, he also gave instructions as to how it should be carried out. When done God's way is a beautiful expression of love between two people. When it's done society's way, it can bring about trouble in the marriage and in the home. I've said before that's what presents with us in actual history with God, as he shows the end from the beginning. So he knew there would be some problems when it comes to intimacy. It's no coincidence he makes it plain for us in the Ten Commandments, which is actually for our own good. Here in our selected text, Jesus is still sharing his Sermon on the Mount and dealing with relationships. In part one, he dealt with three other relationships: other people, one another, and our adversaries. Now he begins to deal with the relationship between man and woman and how the religious leaders and society have twisted what God intended. There are two things that Jesus is dealing with here: adultery, which is sex outside of marriage relationship, and divorce, which ends the marriage. I'd like to give us some practical things that we can do to keep our relationship right before man and before God. If you're going to get your relationship right, make a covenant with your eyes. As Jesus was explaining and defining his text, he was dealing with the fact that the act of adultery does not always take place physically, but it starts in the heart. He took them back to Exodus 20:14, which reads, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Isn't it interesting that society has called it an affair, but God called it adultery? If we change the name of it, it might not be so bad. But that it's all adultery with God. Jesus goes beyond the physical act of adultery and starts to deal with the eyes and the heart. He said in verse 28, "Whoever looketh on a woman who lusts after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Before I go any further, I think I need to clarify some things for all of us. What Jesus is sharing with us is a principle which means it's applicable for both man and woman. There are some men and women alike that lust after opposite sex. And unfortunately, in society, we now live in openly lust after the same sex. But God's sin is sin, is sin regardless of gender doing it. The word lust in this text comes from the Greek word epithymia, and it means to set the heart upon the long for covet desire. It's through the eyes that this takes place, because the eyes are the gateway to the heart and the soul. You see, not everybody is upright, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. There are people out there who want to look at them in that manner, just so they can have their way. We're living in a day and time when both men and women are wearing their clothes too tight, men wearing what I call medium, which means it's the size between small and medium, and definitely too tight for him. And the women are doing the same, or wearing hardly nothing at all. Shorts, so short they can't be called shorts, shirts in order to revealing and almost expose everything, it's because of these actions that we need to make a covenant with our eyes. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 45, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. The preacher's outline in trouble says here, there's a real danger in using one's eyes simply. Peter warns that a person can lose control. Having eyes full of adultery and that can cease from sin, beguiling its able souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So if we're going to get it right, we should probably follow the example of Job, when he said in Job 31, verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? And when we make the covenant with our eyes, we'll allow God to guide our actions. So make a covenant with your body. It's interesting to me that Jesus went from the function of the eyes to the getting rid of the eyes and then the hands. The question was asked, why did Christ use the eyes and the hands to illustrate his point? The answer provided was because a man is moved primarily by thoughts that arise from sight, and a woman is moved primarily by touch. You see, Jesus is dealing with this from the point that both men and women are affected by this. So we must remember that our bodies are temples and the place where God dwells. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, which says, know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which the temple you are. Then he goes further to stress to the point in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, which reads, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So when we make a covenant with our bodies, we understand it's not ours in the first place, but we should handle it, and I'm just pleading unto God. So make a covenant with God. When it comes to marriage nowadays, society says that one of every two will end in divorce. Some people enter into marriage with the idea that they take a trial run. If it doesn't work out, they can get out of it and try again. And that's not what God intended from the beginning. Jesus here deals with what was shared in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, which reads, when a man has taken a wife and married her, it comes to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her. Don't let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. In the Old Testament days, there were many reasons as to why a man could divorce his wife. But God never intended for divorce to be a part of daily life. Now the Lord gives specifically and refers to his fornication in verse 32, which is actually adultery. Now let's be clear here. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, the King James Version says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away for everyone that covereth violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye do not treacherously. But in the Amplified Bible, it reads, for the Lord, God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marriage or separation in him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Therefore, keep a watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly with your marriage mate. In other words, God hates divorce, and that was not his original intention when he instituted marriage. Jesus further explains that if marriage is going in the direction of divorce to be in the right standing with God, adultery or fornication is the only acceptable reason for doing so. All righty. Well, I hope you got something from this message about the fornication and divorce. Amen. All righty. Let's get into the Bible study now. It's Luke chapter 23, and it talks about peer pressure. Peer pressure is defined as social pressure by members of one of your peer group to take a certain action, adopt certain values, otherwise conform in order to be accepted. So, 90% of today's teens report that they have been experiencing some form of peer pressure in their lives. 28% report that their social status was elevated at being in the peer pressure and conform. Only 10% of adolescents say they have never been influenced by peer pressure. And 38% of people admitted to pressuring their friends into doing something they are not comfortable with. 50% of people have lied to their friends about liking something so they wouldn't get made fun of. 19% of teenagers say they would stop using their cell phones while driving only if their friends did the same. And 62% of UK parents surveyed said that their children are affected by peer pressure. So these statistics show us how peer pressure can put ourselves at risk because it changes our behavior. It is clear and present danger to our souls because it can make us commit sins and do things we have otherwise would not do. So Jesus before Pilate. The 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel is all about peer pressure. As Jesus was standing in trial for his life, the leaders would decide his fate, were being heavily influenced by the crowds around him. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, the crowd accused him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ as king." So Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." Nevertheless, they kept on insisting, saying, "He stirs up people teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee as far as this place." That's Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 5. So Pilate's initial response was, "I find no guilt in this man." That should have been it. Jesus was accused, Pilate made his ruling, and Jesus should have been free to leave, right? Sadly, we know that's not what happened. Peer pressure changed Pilate's mind. The bloodthirsty crowd pressured Pilate to find Jesus guilty. Pilate, for his part, passed the responsibility to Herod when he learned that Jesus was a Galilean and therefore fell out underneath Herod's authority. So Luke writes in chapter 23, verse 11, "And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there accusing him vehemently, and Herod with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate." So Herod would not make any decisions regarding Jesus' guilt or innocence. The prisoner trials had gotten to him. Both Pilate and Herod knew they were making historical decisions, and neither one of them wanted that responsibility. So Pilate tried to pass his responsibility to Herod, and Herod gave it right back. Instead of what they believed was right, they gave into the peer pressure. That can happen to us if we're not vigilant. We need to make decisions based on what the Bible teaches us is right and wrong, not what is popular with others. So what good is it to be popular on earth if our souls are condemned for eternity? Bad company corrupts good morals. In Paul's first letter to Corinthians, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, "Do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals." The people around us have tremendous influence over our behavior and the decisions we make. We need to be careful who associate with them and ask ourselves, "Do my friends build me up or do they tear me down?" Like Pilate, maybe we start off trying to do what is right, but then we become susceptible to the negative beliefs of others and we allow them to change our minds. There's an acronym for that, which is SINUP. Susceptible to the negative influence over other people. We need to protect ourselves from being negatively influenced by the company that we keep. It is critical to our salvation that we surround ourselves with people who encourage us and to become better Christians not people who are constantly inviting us to partake in sin. So let us conclude. Satan is a power adversary that is constantly seeking to destroy us. One of the most effective tools of the devil is peer pressure. To protect ourselves against his attacks, we need to surround ourselves with people of faith, study the Bible, and apply what we have learned. As we read the Bible, our faith will become stronger, and so will our ability to resist Satan. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Romans, Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we grow in our faith, we will become less affected by what others think and more reliant on God's word to shape our actions. As people of faith, God wants us to have courage to stand up for what we know is right, even when it's unpopular, and our peers are pressuring us to go in different directions. So when we accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, we acknowledge the Bible as our own true north when it comes to decision-making. No longer will we follow the world's way of thinking, we will follow God's commandments. We will end today's lesson with the following quote taken from Apostle Paul's letter to Romans. It reminds us to think differently than the rest of the world and to allow God to transform us into the Christians that he created us to be. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. I hope you got something from today's Bible lesson on peer pressure from Luke chapter 23. Amen. All righty. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord God to be your Lord and Savior, you've got a chance to do so right now. All you have to say is, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, and that I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord of God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now I'm saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And I also want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you into the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we'd like to give you a call at area code 657-383-1487 and press that one key, and I'll bring you on, okay, and you can tell us, that you tell the world that you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we got some callers here. Let's take them and see who we have. 111, you're on here. One on one. Okay. 111, you're on here.
Hi there, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, okay. My name is Hank. I'm listening to your show, and you went on for a little bit more than usual. My attention time is so little, but you did a good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
I was going to ask you, If a person robbed from me twice, should I forgive them again?
Say that again now?
This guy that I know, he robbed from me twice. And Bible says, I think, I'm supposed to forgive him 77 times.
Yeah, 70 times 7.
Now, that's a lot for a person that keeps on robbing from you. I think I should just stay away from that person.
Yeah, you should make yourself free of that person that's robbing you, okay, and not let him do it again. But you should forgive him, okay, for doing so.
Yeah, it's just he goes into my garage and gets parts from my lawnmower, and I want to cut my grass, and the propeller on the bottom is not there, and find out it's him. This guy that I know lives across the way, his name is Dale, and he's a paranoid guy, and he always thinks that the government's after him, and that we got bugs in our phones and stuff, and I just think he's out there, but he's a good guy, I mean, but the only problem is that he steals.
Yeah, well, we got to say a prayer for him and get him on the right path.
One time he went to my work to visit me, didn't know that he stole some propane. And Mr. Strickland, who I work for, was really, really mad at me, and he charged me for that propane, and I told Dale. Dale said that he didn't do it, but I know he did. So he lies, he steals, and who knows what more he does.
Yeah, well, we just got to put it to rest. Okay, I got to take another call here, see who we got.
Yes, sir.
411. You're on air. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I got me a question. See, my neighbor kind of has dementia, and he just got one of them Tesla trucks. Now, if I get him to sign that over to my name, that's stealing, right?
Well, knowing that the person has dementia and you try to get him to sign it over, I guess it would be a form of stealing, yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. The Ten Commandments, they didn't say stealing is like a sin, right?
Oh, yeah, do not steal. It's a sin. You break that commandment.
And that's part of the Ten Commandments?
Yes, it is.
Which commandment is that?
I can't remember exactly. I want to say maybe the seventh.
Okay, will you... Can you tell me which are the Ten Commandments, please?
Say what now?
What are the Ten Commandments? Which ones are they? Let's go over that now. Just to be careful. I mean, for my sake. This is a truck we're talking about.
You should love your God and have no other gods before him as the first.
That's
okay,
number one. Okay.
You should... keep the Sabbath holy, which is number three. I can't remember number two for some reason. Okay.
Honor your mother and father. That's one of them, right?
Well, honor thy mother and father is the fifth commandment.
Okay.
And then it goes into, about murder, and it goes about stealing, and it goes about adultery. And then it goes about coveting.
Because I remember number seven being adultery. Do not commit adultery. Where does it say something about stealing the Ten Commandments?
It's in there. I know it's in there about do not steal. I believe it's before murder.
Yeah, but can you tell me all the commandments so I know what to commit and what not to commit then?
I just basically did. You
told me about four or five of them, though. And I don't find stealing on this list.
Yeah, stealing is not good. Stealing is not good.
But some on one of the Ten Commandments. It's not like one of the deadly sins.
Okay. Try another one.
Can you still hear me? Can you still hear me?
Goodbye. Bye.
Yeah.
You are now.
That was Dale. That was my neighbor Dale calling. See, I was right. It is him. He's stealing.
That's your neighbor, Dale?
Yes, sir.
Huh. Well, in his mind, he thinks it's okay to steal.
Yeah. Any more callers?
Yeah, we do have some more callers here. 111, you're on there.
Look here, man. This is Leroy Jr. That's right. My daddy is Leroy Jackson.
All right.
My daddy told me Parar takes a shit every night, does not wash his hands, and then makes your food every day. Is that...
No, goodbye. 111, you're on air. One, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hey, goodbye. 111.
Goodbye.
Okay. All righty. We got another 111 caller. 111. You're on the air.
Look here, man. This is Leroy Jr. I ain't a bad guy like my daddy, you know what I'm saying? I just want to talk to you for a minute and let you know Sugar Cookie not feeling good. My daddy might go up to Canada, visit him in hospital, and I want to know if you know about that.
No, I didn't know about it.
Yeah. You know, my dad be helping out that Sugar Cookie. They're good friends, you know what I'm saying? And, my daddy, he just tried to help him, and he said Kent Hopper having all kind of problems, man. He got, like, what's that called, colon cancer, hurting his back, all kind of nonsense, man. And my daddy might be staying at his apartment. I'm afraid my daddy might be trying to hit on his girl, you know what I'm saying? But my daddy, of course, my daddy might be trying to hit on him, too. My daddy is a little bit of fruity, if you know what I'm saying. But just want to let you know, Sugar Cookie not feeling good. And, you know, if he die, hope you do a show in his honor. And you take care now. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, brother. Okay, we'll do. Okay, goodbye. 111, you're on air.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. This is Mary, and I'm with the Girl Scouts. And we just wanted to know if you wanted to buy some sugar cookies.
No, it's okay.
It's a really good cause for a good donation for ourselves, and I consider myself a step badge.
Okay. Well, let's check it out. I'm calling. All righty, let's play some more great gospel music here. Okay, play Good God by Lombazi and Naomi Rain. You Surround by Ryan O.V. And Always, Father, I Trust You by Javonte Patton.
You be good.
that you won't climb. No shadow to dark that you won't light. Who am I that you keep me inside your mind? And I can't count so many, many things you do.
I will be. Father, I need you.
Can't do life
Something I think you'd find a little interesting here. Hold on one sec. Let's see here. All right, I got me the Ten Commandments. Thou shall not use any other, hold on. Okay. Number one. Tell me if these sound right to you, okay?
All right.
Shoot. You shall not have another God before me. That's number one.
Right.
Thou shalt not make any graven images. That's number two.
Okay.
You shall not misuse the name of God. That's number three. Remember the Sabbath day is number four. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, do not murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight is thou not steal. Oh, you were right. It is actually on there. Oh, my, what am I going to do?
You can't steal.
I already stole the damn truck. Well, maybe I'll sell it back to him. You reckon that's okay?
No, I just give it back to him.
No, sell it back to him, I said.
No, you shouldn't sell it back to him. If you stole it from him, you should give it back to him.
Well, I mean, I took a little care of it. There was some dirt in the door jam I cleaned up. I can at least charge them for some detailing, right?
I guess so, but I wouldn't go too far.
How much do you think I can get off it?
I really don't know.
So if I stole your truck, how much would you give me to return it?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't. I would just report it stolen and let the police handle it.
You should put the poor guy in jail. That's me. You don't want that, would you?
Well, I wouldn't want you to go to jail, but if you steal, you should suffer the consequences.
Haven't you stolen anything in your life?
Well, yeah, I did way back when I was younger. Okay? And I repented for it. So I don't do it anymore.
Well, don't you want someone to give you a second chance?
Yeah, I would give it a second chance.
So how much can I make off this?
I really can't tell you, sir. I would just give it back to him.
I should be compensated to make me whole again, right?
Huh?
I need to be compensated and made whole again, right?
No, you shouldn't. Okay,
I mean, this is traumatic.
Here.
I don't know if I'm going to have post-traumatic stress syndrome over this.
Well, you should have stole it in the first place.
Well, I didn't know it was part of the Ten Commandments. You said it was number 7. Number 7 was do not commit adultery. You were wrong, too.
Yeah, but it was in there. I knew it was in there.
Well, it's number 8.
It was number 8. I was wrong. Okay, as far as the number was concerned.
And I was wrong for taking it.
That's right.
So we're both wrong.
Yeah, we're both wrong. Okay, but yours
and
is... yours
both
is,
take the consequences okay, of being
I,
wrong.
Okay, mine was a mistake.
Well, mine was a mistake, too, you said. You said give it back, because what you did was a mistake.
Yeah, you should give it back. You should give your truck back to him, okay, and call it a day.
How much do you think I should be compensated for, though?
Sure.
I don't think so. What do you think, caller 111? Do you think you should be compensated for stealing the truck?
Well, this is Hank. And, Dale, you got to give me back my truck. I ain't going to pay you nothing for it.
No, someone else sold it to me with your name. It was just a mistake. And, by the way, this Ken Fishman guy, he told me to do it.
Ken Fishman told you to do it?
Sure
so
did.
Who should I go after then?
Well, I'd call the police and tell them Ken Fishman told someone to steal my truck.
I guess you're right, Dale. I got to. If he told you that, I know that you do listen to folk. And Ken Fishman, who's Ken Fishman anyway?
That's me, Hank. I'm Ken Fishman. I'm Pastor Ken Fishman. And I didn't tell him to steal
the
truck.
Oh, you're a pastor, and you told Dale to steal the truck?
No, I didn't.
You didn't tell me not to steal the truck.
I didn't tell you anything because I don't know you, Dale.
Well, good thing is that we have this recorded, and you did tell Dale to steal it first. Then you told him to give it back to me, which I think he should give it back. But if you told him to do it, then you're the mastermind.
No, I didn't tell him to steal your truck, Harry.
Gosh darn it, I got to talk to Peggy Sue about this.
Hey, come on, man.
Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama and his campbook. That I know we're listening.
Have you ever sold a truck before?
God bless everybody in the chat room. my cunt, Ashley, and Lauren T.J. Hooker. Okay, give a shout-out to DC2. He was in the shot. He was in the chat room earlier as well. Give a shout-out to Papa Squat. He was there. Okay. Hope you all have a good night. And maybe I'll see you tomorrow. All right. Have a good night, everybody. God bless.
Hold on there. You still haven't.
Okay.